right here on the Armed Room Show with Glenn
and Drew.
Thank you for being a patron of the show. If you are a patron of the show, if you're not a patron of the show, please consider it. $1, $5, $10 a month. Easy to become a patron of the show, and we would deeply appreciate your support because it helps us keep the show going. This is not free for us to do. It takes our time, our energy, and our money to do this. It also allows us to do great community service in our communities, which we appreciate the opportunity to be able to do. So this is a slightly pre-recorded show because we've got some other training obligations. So we don't really know what's going to happen in the news over the next week, since technically we did our last week show this week, or however that works. Anyways,
however
that future past bullshit works. So I did want to talk about something I was just talking about to a listener and an independence training student who's just stopped by the office to give us a really awesome gift. So thank you for that really freaking incredible gift if you're listening to this episode. And we were just discussing kind of a myriad of things. We kind of took several tracks on the same train. But one of the things that always comes up is, you know, what's next, right? How do we handle this insane society? How do we handle all these problems? How do we handle all these horrible things that are going on in our country that we don't agree with? And honestly, I honestly believe it's through education. And I've said this for a while, and I hope that it continues to be true. I'll be honest, guys, I hope it doesn't come to the sword. There's this really funny comedy show, I guess it is, called Letterkenny. And it's pretty hilarious. If you've never seen it, you should look it up. But there's a scene where there's one of the main characters. He's talking to one of these kind of side characters, and he said, if you'd ever been in a real fight, you might not be so keen for another. And I think that that's kind of, you know, how I feel about putting people to the sword here in our own country. It's frustrating when people who are willing to travel to foreign countries aren't willing to do the same thing that they were willing to do there here at home to safeguard our liberties, our actual liberties, our actual freedoms. When it comes time to actually fight for liberty and actually fight for freedom, nobody seems to really want to do it. However, it's also quite honestly terrifying. The thought of putting my children into the cold or exposing my wife to that kind of violence. It's not fucking cool. And it's what everybody, you know, everyone wants to, you know, gat back up and jock up and get back when I was in the XYZ unit and the wherever, Stan, Iraq or wherever, you know, Syria, wherever. And we were doing this. It's like, yeah, you were doing that with a lot more support. You were doing that with a lot less danger. You were doing that far from your home, where the enemy couldn't come to you and drone strike your fucking house.
Yeah.
And with your family inside. And we were drone striking other people's homes with their families inside. And I guess that didn't really seem to be that big of a fucking deal to young American males. But we never, I guess, thought at the time about that happening to us by our own government. And so to avoid that, I hope, I doubt, but I hope, would be that we need to educate more people. And at this point, you almost have to hold them down and fucking force feed them that this is how shit really is. Teach people about real history. Don't just get frustrated that people don't know. Don't take for granted what you know. Don't take for granted what you have experienced. Don't take for granted what you understand. And maybe people are stupider than you. And maybe they aren't as experienced as you. And maybe they don't understand as well as you are. And if they're in your tribe, if they're in your community, if they're around you and they don't understand and they don't get it, then you're failing them.
Yeah.
And we're failing them. And we need to help other people understand better what is going on and where we're headed and the history of where we're headed, which is so easy to see. And we need to help people to understand what's coming next. It's not going to be fun. It's not going to be cool. It's food shortages and fuel shortages and camps and people getting carted off in the middle of the night. You guys, this isn't conspiracy shit. This is real shit. Pick up a goddamn book and read it. This is real shit that happens to real people in real countries. And, you know, look at what's going on in Brazil right now. It's really important that we educate people around us. if for nothing else than just to spread information. And at least if we do it and it still comes to the sword, then at least we will have done everything we could have done to avoid it. My favorite characters in history, and I say characters because I don't know how many of the stories are truly true or whatever, you know, history's written by the victor and all that. So my favorite characters in history always tried diplomacy first. They always tried talking it out. They always tried education. They always tried making a deal. They always tried to avoid violence. And then when violence was thrust upon them, they did it ferociously. There's a saying out there. I don't know where it comes from, but I'm going to quote it because I like it. I brought peace until they brought war. So then I brought war until they brought peace. And I think that that's the point that we all need to get to. We should be educating our people. We should be educating our tribe. We should be educating our coworkers and our family members and debating not emotionally but factually and spreading good, solid information. And also preparing for the possible. Getting yourself in better physical condition, mental condition, spiritual condition, emotional and emotional condition, preparing your family and your people for what the possibilities are. That we hope it doesn't come to that. But look around, man. They're still stealing elections and no one's doing anything about it.
Which is crazy.
Terrifying. I remember reading about these kinds of things. I've always read history books ever since I was a little tiny kid. And I remember reading about these things in other countries and thinking how insane they were. And I'm glad that would never happen in America. And now I'm living that nightmare as an adult. So there's that. Redwire gear moment for this week. Sharpen your everyday carry knife. I'm talking to myself this week. My knife is so fucking dull. Here's the thing, man. My father would be disappointed if he knew how dull I let my knife get. Sharpen your everyday carry knife, all right? Right now, today, sharpen your knife. You use it more for utility than you use it for anything else, so just sharpen it. Make sure it has a good cutting edge on it. The most dangerous knife you possess is the dullest knife because you're putting pressure on it and it slips and it skips and it does all this and it ends up stabbing you or somebody else. Sharpen your knife. Maintain your knife. If it's assisted action or it's just a regular folder or it's a fixed blade or whatever, maintain the holster, maintain the sheath, maintain the springs in it, maintain the clip on it, make sure the screws aren't coming out, all that stuff. Maintain and sharpen your everyday carry knife. Redwire Gear Moment brought to you by RedwireGear.com. Topic for this week, lights and why you need more for the everyday world. And this is going to be a relatively easy topic, I guess. But I want to talk about the things that we're always looking for in a light before we get into what we might be able to use them for. So first of all, carrying a light will make you more likely to use it. And the more you carry it, the more you're going to use it for everything, for all kinds of stuff. It's amazing how convenient they are. I mean, last night, here's an example. Garbage disposal takes a shit, all right, in the kitchen. And it's not working right, and it's leaking, it's having all these problems. And I fixed it once before, and I'm like, okay, I'm not going to fix it again. I'm just going to replace it. So I need to take a photo of it to make sure I get the correct replacement size and width and height and all that.
You're welcome for the iPhone, by the way.
That doesn't have anything to do with the iPhone at all. And so I go to take a photo of it, but
amazing
I can't.
Photo quality.
Whatever. I can't fucking see with that amazing photo quality because it's dark underneath the sink. So I pull out my daily carry light and I turn on the light, right? So now I can see as I'm taking photos of everything. I have really good clear photos thanks to the light I'm able to add to the situation. Then I get underneath there and start unhooking everything, you know, and making sure that everything's, you know, taken care of, and, you know, I need to get this screw and get that screw and whatever, and I use my light for that too. And then, you know, when I'm reinstalling everything, I'll go get the new one, come back, reinstall everything, I need my light again, you know. It's just convenient to have this nice pocket light that I can always have access to. I've used it more than almost any other tool I own. I use it all the freaking time. And there's some things I look for in a good pocket light. The first thing I look for is I want a good solid pocket clip. Because if I don't have a good pocket clip, I'm going to lose the fucking light. So I want to make sure it's nice and strong. I like the new reversible pocket clips that Streamlight uses, where you can, they kind of bend almost in a U shape. So they're very tight in your pocket, but you can also pull them away from the body of the light and slide them on the bill of a cap. So you can make a quick modified headlamp out of your light. And that is really freaking convenient. So, you know, I look for things like that. In construction of the light itself, I want it long enough that it extends past both sides of my palm. So I want it to extend off each side of the palm, the bezel or the area where the light comes off one side, and then the tail cap off the other side. That way, if I accidentally grab it one way or the other too much, the tail cap doesn't get lost in my hand and the bezel doesn't get lost in my hand, thus making it impossible for me to either activate the light or see the light. So that's important to me. Other things I look for is a tail cap. I want a activating tail cap, a momentary to constant click. Momentary, you know, easy press, light press, and then a hard constant click. I don't want anything else. I don't want multiple buttons. I don't want multiple options. I don't want multiple modes or anything like that. I want to be able to momentary or constant click to the highest light. And then if needed, I can cycle through if there are other light modes that the light has or that I may want. But I always want the brightest light to come on first in case I need it for an emergency, a variety of emergencies that may be. I want it to be shockproof and waterproof. I want to be able to drop this thing and not break it. I want it to be able to, you know, get a little wet and not have to worry about whether or not it's broken or anything like that. Given the opportunity that it could use either A, rechargeable batteries, or B, be rechargeable, I want that. It's 2022, and fucking USB rechargeable shit is awesome. So definitely get something that you can recharge. If you can recharge the light, you're going to be more likely to use it. If every time your batteries go dead, you got to put in, you know, $5 worth of CR123s in there, you're going to be more sad. So I think that you really want to have that rechargeable capability. I don't have to think twice about using my light because I know I can go home tonight, put it on the charger and charge it up and be good to go. So that's something I look for in a light. When it comes into the reflector, there's two things that I'm looking for here: lumens and candela. Lumens is a measurement of the light at the bulb. That is all it is. So you can buy the 1995 Costco 1000 lumen light that doesn't barely illuminate your bedroom because it doesn't have any candela or the throw is really bad. So lumens is great, but remember, it's only the measurement of the light at the bulb. In order for that to turn into something that's a functional light, then you want good candela or throw. And that candela is going to deplete over distance and space. You also want to look at that candela and what kind of beam it's throwing. Is it throwing a very tight spot so I can look far away with minimal amount of flood, minimum amount of splash beyond that flood? Or is it throwing a lot of flood, which helps me to illuminate a relatively close-in area very, very well, but might not enable me to get good identification farther away? Well, which one I'm going to choose is going to be based on what I'm trying to accomplish with the light. In a handheld light, generally speaking, I like lots of flood. I'm probably not trying to look at something very far away. I might want to illuminate something at, you know, 100 yards or something, but I just kind of want to generally see what it is. But ultimately, I really want to be able to see things close in, you know, inside of 25 yards. So that's what I'm looking for, is way more flood with a little bit of spot. So maybe I can see out there a little bit, but I'm not really trying to, like, you know, read the letters on someone's jacket kind of thing. All I really care about is illuminating an area. So those are things that I look for generally in a light. I also want the light to not look insane. Like, for a while, you know, it was really popular for, like, quote unquote tactical lights to just have fucking insane bezels on them. They would just be these, we jokingly call them DNA collectors because they were just these hard carved crenellated bezels that would just, you know, rip and tear someone's flesh if you had to use this as an impact tool. But the problem with those bezels is then they were getting picked up by security and they were getting picked up by airports, et cetera. So I want a light that is relatively benign that I can take with me everywhere that I go and no one's ever going to question it. I'll tell you the lights that Drew and I have found that fit all of these categories for us. For me, it's the Streamlight PT2LX. And for Drew, it's the Streamlight PT1LX. And that's 1L or 1 lithium battery, 1 CR123 for her, and a 2L or 2 lithium battery, 2 CR123 for me. It just fits my pocket better. Hers fits her pocket better. But
it actually fits my hand too. I don't like the super skinny thin lights. Mm-hmm. They're awkward in my hand. So I want something that has a little bit of, I guess, thickness to it. Mm-hmm. That way it's easier to hold on to. That's just my personal opinion, though.
Yeah, and so, I mean, everyone's going to be different in what they're going to want in a light. Some people are okay with carrying, you know, fucking monster flashlight, and other people want to carry, you know, the more stylist pen-style flashlights.
Which I feel like just holding teeny tiny ones in my hand, I feel like I just going to break them.
Yeah, I agree. And I feel like I'm going to lose them.
Yeah.
They're going to fall out of my pocket, or I'm not going to notice that they're gone.
You're not going to hear it, or you're not going to feel it.
Yeah, my light falls out, it makes a clunk. You know, like I know.
Well, we all know how many times I lose my light.
Drew has, quote unquote, lost her light probably 20 fucking times. We found it every time, but most of the time we do hear it.
I always hear it. I'm like, ugh, there it is. It fell again.
So those are things that we're looking for generally in the lights. For a daily carry light, you know, I'd like to find something that's at least 300 to 400 lumens. 500 lumens would be awesome. If I can get more, that's neat. There's no such thing as too much lumen, and there's no such thing as too bright of a light. You're not going to see things too clearly. And then, you know, there's kind of the myth of like, well, then if I shine it on a reflective wall or a mirror or something, it's going to fucking blind me, and then I'm going to be blinded or whatever. And it's like, yeah, okay, I always answer it like this. Okay, who told you that you'd to not look at the sun? Probably the first time you looked at the sun, you were like, fuck that hurts, right? Unless you just stand out in the backyard staring at the sun like a fucking retard, in which case then your parents probably had to come out and say, hey, dumb, don't stare at the sun or you're going to fucking go blind, right?
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, staring at the sun's pretty self-correcting problem. Okay, so is looking at super bright lights. If you're in a building or doing something with your light and it's super bright, don't fucking stare at the giant light. Dim it down or don't look at it. Use it as an area light. Shine it up at the ceiling, an umbrella cast into an area. Shine it off a wall. Shine it off the floor. Whatever it is that's contextual to your situation, don't just shine it straight at what you're looking at and stare at it if it fucking hurts you to look at it. It's like there's some stuff that goes around the tactical world that's so fucking stupid that it's like I feel dumber having to explain it to people. Like, how do you not think of this on your own? You know, this is just you want a weak light? Yeah, I only want a minimum amount of lumens. I don't really like to blind the person that I may have to be, you know, fucking fighting against, you know, save my life. Yeah, I just want to kind of sort of hurt their eyes. And I just want to kind of make them uncomfortable. Maybe later I could write a note to their mom and tell them how their feelings were hurt by my light. Maybe that's really what I'm after, is hurting someone's feelings with my light. Like, not me, man. I want to burn their fucking retinas. If they survive this, I would be perfectly okay with them being partially blind. You know, like, I want to hurt them. If I could put the power of the sun into my light, I would carry it around. That's what I want. I want a super insane bright light. And actually, on that note, just today had great breakfast with our Streamlight rep, and he actually handed me the new PT RM2, I think is what it's called, and it's a 2,000 lumen weapon mounted light. So we're gonna be fucking around with that and seeing what we can kind of capability we can get out of this light. But anyway, I'm excited for the possibilities for it. But at any rate, so carrying, or that's kind of light selection. Now, carrying a light. Question's been asked. It was just asked, you know, in our recent close contact handgun class. Where do I carry the light? Do I carry it with my action hand, which is my right hand if you're right-handed, left hand, of course, if you're left-handed, or do I carry it on my support side? Because I might be using the light in conjunction with self-defense tools, I choose to carry the light on my support side. So as a right-handed shooter, I carry it on my left side. That way, I have the capability to be able to access the light when I might have to be doing, you know, some other things. So I think that's, you know, for me, that's pretty important. So now, what are we looking at for, that's handheld, what are we looking at for other lights? And because the topic of the show is why you need more of them. Well, there's other lights that you need to consider having in your life, in my opinion. Before we get there, let me back up a little bit. Handheld lights. What are we really using handheld lights for? So there are three things that I'm using handheld lights for. And you kind of think of this as the triad of light application. I'm going to need them to illuminate an area, illuminate a space, illuminate a target, illuminate. I need to be able to see what I'm trying to look at. I might need, so that's the first eye. The second eye is identify. I need them to identify a bad guy or good guy, benign or hostile. I need them to identify what the hell that thing is over there in the bushes. I might need them to identify the Lego that I'm looking for underneath the, you know, couch. I might need them to identify where I just dropped my fucking keys under my truck. I'm using illumination to illuminate that area, but I'm using the capabilities of the light itself to identify a thing. And then the last I, which is much more defensive or even offensive in nature, is to incapacitate. So illuminate, identify, and incapacitate. Incapacitation with a light is kind of two-parted. One is physically using the light to incapacitate someone, both with the brightness of the light to, you know, temporarily or partially obscure someone's vision and have give them a time that it takes for their eyes to adjust to this light, buying me valuable time to do a variety of different things, especially if I can maintain that light in their face as I move and do my next actions. I might also be looking at it from an incapacitation standpoint of using it in conjunction with other tools. Like, hey, I need to use this light so I can get better shots with my handgun. I need to use this light so I can get better shots with my, you know, rifle or whatever it may be. I need to use this light so I can stab this person appropriately. I'm using it as in conjunction with other incapacitation tools. So I think that that's, you know, kind of the three eyes or the triad of, you know, light application. So what other lights that fit that we need in our lives also fit in illuminate, identify, incapacitate. I try to keep these lights with me at all times. And that is one, my pocket light, my handheld light. It goes everywhere I go. You guys have never been denied my light. I've flown into different countries with it. I've gone into security areas with it. I go into courthouses with it. I do everything. I literally take it everywhere I go. No one's ever denied me that. But there's other lights that I really like to have. I like to have a really high quality, rechargeable headlamp. The capability to have hands-free light, whether you're putting it around your head, putting it around your wrist, or putting it around your neck, the capability to have a very bright light that is hands-free is awesome for not only utility, but navigation, field craft. Here's what I'm looking for in that light. I want that particular light not to go from bright to medium to dim. I want it to go from dim to medium to bright because most of the time I'm using my headlamp to look at something close and I don't want to blind the shit out of myself. I also want it to be able to give me another color, typically red because that helps with natural night vision. But, you know, I've used green lights as well. They function for various different other things. But I want it to be able to change to another color so I can move back and forth. Currently, the ones we use the most are the Petzls. What are those things called? The Arctic
something.
Drew's going to look it up real quick. But yeah. I like them because they have batteries, rechargeable, USB rechargeable mm-hmm. batteries that you can just pull in and out. So like Drew and I both use the same light so that we're using the same battery.
And we got them from REI. They're not very expensive.
Yeah. And then we have extra batteries. So we mm-hmm. can always keep a battery charged up and ready to go. So if you need to swap and you don't have time to recharge, boom, you just throw the extra battery in and you're in business. So I really like having that capability of light and having those extra batteries. So, yeah, they're like Arctic or
yeah,
something.
It's she's still looking they up. Are the just.
No, you don't know.
No, it's right here. God, I don't need coupon codes. I think this is the one that we have. It's not Arctic. It's Actic or something?
Actic. That's what it is. Actic.
A-C-T-I-K. They're $80.
That's the light, though, which is so far we found to be some of those durable headlamps I've ever used has yeah. been these Actic
They're $70. They're $70. But the actual rechargeable battery, if you want to buy an extra one, is only $30. But anything from Petzl is really good. But we use them for running. We just ran, you know, something 17 miles in the McDowell Mountains, and two of my runs were one was at I think 10 or 11. My other one was like 4 in the morning. And the nice thing is it's three different settings of high, medium beam, low beam. Or actually, I take that back. I think it's 4 because there's like an extra low beam. And then you can turn – and then one of them flashes.
You can do a strobe.
And then it also turns red. Yeah.
And these things are super durable and they're super comfortable.
They're waterproof.
And they're really comfortable. Like wearing them on your head is not an uncomfortable thing. And that definitely makes a difference. So, you know, that's another light that I really want. And what I'm looking for generally in a headlamp, as I already described, is those modes of brightness, rechargeable mm-hmm. capability, and the ability to pull the batteries in and out so I can interchange them.
Yeah.
Having a strobe and a light like that is also very beneficial, not because I'm trying to strobe some body, body, but just from an emergency strobing, if I need to, you know, you put that thing on strobe, it's usually like a lower setting. People mm-hmm. can see that thing for, I mean, miles away. They can see you're strobing. But yeah, if I'm hurt, I'm down, I'm trying to call somebody, I'm GPSing somebody, hey man, I'm hurt, you know, search and rescue, come get me, or hey, you know, Drew, come find me or whatever. Yeah. I'm the strobing light. The fucking thing will strobe for like 10 hours or some bullshit like that. So, you know, it's going to give me typically plenty of time to be able to be found if I'm strobing effectively. So that's normally what I'm looking for in a headlamp. So I consider a headlamp, pocket light, two incredibly important lights to have. All right. Another light that I think is really important to have is the God light. I want a handheld light that is the brightest, most powerful light that I can possibly find. And this is the light that I want for long distances. This is my camping light. What the fuck is that making noise outside the tent? This is my nightstand light. Hey man, I'm gonna blind shit out of someone in my house, you know, or I'm gonna illuminate somebody out there by the truck. You know, this is my, you know, like when I do security work, this is the light that stays in my hands. I'm gonna blind the shit out of someone. Hey, what are you doing in this area? Or hey, get the fuck out of here, you know, whatever. So I wanna be able to use an incredibly bright, incredibly capable handheld light. The functions that I'm looking for in there are more spot and more throw, more candela than I generally want in my daily carry light. And I also am looking for the most amount of lumens I can possibly buy. Like, I'm kind of excited for this new RM2 that has 2,000 lumens. I want to compare it to my 1,000 lumen HLX or HPL or whatever the fuck they call it from Streamlight. But I want to compare it and see which one has the better throw, which one has the better output, because I think that, you know, my handheld light right now that I use is freaking phenomenal. It's an awesome light, but a really crazy bright light. I don't care how big this handheld light is. It could be as big as the old mag lights. I don't care. I don't care how big the light is because I'm not carrying around in my pocket necessarily. I may be carrying it in equipment, on a gear, in a pack, you know, in a pouch or something like that. A light like that may just be carried in the hand, kept on a nightstand, kept in a pickup. It's something that's going to be, you know, more than likely carried around for me or with me, but not in my pocket. So I want a huge freaking light, you know, so in a, that kind of light, that's what I'm looking for. Rechargeability is a cool bonus, but not necessary for that kind of light, because rechargeable batteries are always going to reduce the amount of output that a light can do. And they're also going to reduce the overall lifespan of the light just because of how rechargeable batteries work differently than straight lithium celled batteries. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if that's not a total requirement, if the rechargeable battery reduces the capability of the light, I don't want it. I'll pay the money to have the, you know, brand new CR123s or whatever in there so that they can be, you know, bright as the sun. So that's what I'm looking for in a big, bright, crazy freaking handheld light. I want that thing, you know. So pocket light, headlamp, insanely large, you know, handheld light. Another light that I want in my everyday life is my weapon-mounted light. Now, because I EDC a handgun, I want a light on my handgun. Not everybody thinks like I do. Not everybody believes in a weapon-mounted light or cares about a weapon-mounted light on their handgun. I do. I want that light capability for shooting. The way that we teach handhelds versus weapon-mounted lights, a weapon-mounted light is for shooting, sometimes for searching when I'm first searching for something to shoot. A handheld light is for searching, sometimes for shooting, if I either don't have a weapon-mounted light or the context of the situation requires that I begin shooting immediately. Otherwise, I want a weapon-mounted light if I can transition from one or the other. So I want a weapon-mounted light. What am I looking for in a weapon-mounted light? I want a light that fits my fucking gun. Unfortunately, that means different things on different guns. My outside the waistband, you know, battle rigs are going to have a slightly different light than my concealed carry guns just by the nature of the lights. Mm-hmm. But I will say for concealed carry, huge fan of Streamlight's TLR stuff. The TLR 7, TLR 8, phenomenal series. They make a variety of different options. They make some with lasers, red lasers, green lasers. They make the subs for the subcompact guns. They make the TLR 6 for the subcompacts. There's a lot of options there in the TLR series of lights, but I really like their lights and I prefer a rear switch. I do not want a side switch on my weapon-mounted lights. I fucking hate that. I think it's a shit engineer design. I think whoever's designing that shit doesn't use these fucking things for real in the real world, and it just seems like a neat idea to them, like it's a button that you can fucking push or whatever. I'm not into that. I want rear activation. Toggles, paddles, I'm all fine with that. I just want rear activation on the back of the light because that gives me the capability to actually be able to positively activate it. It also keeps it from accidentally discharging in the holster and then running my battery down if I don't realize the light's on. So I like rear activation on the light, and again, I want the brightest possible weapon-mounted light. And I want something, because it's on a handgun, I want something that's a shitload of flood. I don't want something with a spot. I don't want something that shows me something 20, 30, 40 yards away. That's what I'm going to use my handheld for. I want something that's going to flood this handgun engagement area, everything inside of 25 yards, everything inside of 10 yards. I want to be able to see the dude and the three people to his left and right. You know, I want to be able to see the whole area, half the room or all the room. I want to be able to see a lot. So I want the brightest light possible. I want a big, giant floodlight. Not all handgun lights do this, so make sure that you're getting the right one. When you're getting weapon-mounted lights, an X300, you know, from Surefire or something like that would be badass to throw on your handgun, on your EDC, but that's not realistic for everyone's everyday carry, concealed carry. So find a light like the TLR series from Streamlight, for example, that can fit easily in whatever holster. And what you'll find is a holster for a small compact light like that will not really be that much bigger than the regular holster just because of the small size of the light. And I'm a huge, huge fan of having lights on handguns. Not everybody has one. Not everybody can afford one. Not everybody can want one, whatever. Okay, do your thing. But I'm a big fan of weapon-mounted lights on handguns. Why would I not want more light? I can't see in the fucking dark. I can't really see into ambient light. You know, I'm not a dragon or whatever, so I don't have fucking night vision. I like lights. I want to illuminate dark areas in the daytime, illuminate shadows. I want to illuminate stuff at night, obviously. I want to be able to see what the fuck I'm dealing with and potentially identifying and incapacitating it as well. So that's my take on that. Lasers on handguns, I fucking couldn't care less. I don't give a shit. If you think a laser on a handgun is useful, fucking neato, super cool, do your thing. Other than that, I don't fucking care. I know they have their purposes. They don't have any purpose for me. They don't have any purpose for my people. I just don't really give a shit. I just don't care about it. The only time that they might even slightly be useful is if you're running night vision. But keep in mind, you know, a visible laser is visible to everybody. So that's about it. But they do make, like, the Streamlight IR Viz 2 or the Surefire Vampire lights. They do make IR light and laser handgun models. So I do run one of those on one of my rigs, the Viz 2 IR light from Streamlight. It's badass. It's cool. It's got an IR light and an IR laser and a white Viz laser. So, or a white Viz light, I mean. And it's pretty nice. I just wish the light was brighter. It's only like 350 lumens or something, so it kind of sucks compared to the other lights that are out there on the market today. But the IR light and laser being attached to the pistol is advantageous, even if I don't totally love IR lasers as much these days as just having a good IR light. But anyways, so good weapon-mounted lights, awesome. Next light I'm going to want in my life, that's going to be, you know, small man portable stuff, is I want a scene light. I want a light that I can take with me that, again, hopefully is – oh, let me go back to the weapon-mounted lights. I don't typically want them to be rechargeable because I want the highest possible output because I'm usually shooting stuff with these things, and so I want the highest possible output. I don't really care if it's rechargeable so much. I want the brightest, highest freaking output. So, you know, there's that. Back to the other light. A good scene light. A light that I can turn on in an area that will just illuminate the entire area. Now, these lights don't have to be portable. They can be plug-in. They can, you know, AC powered. They can be powered by battery pack. I've seen some great lights that are powered by, you know, power tool batteries. You know, those are cool. I've seen some lights that are, you know, have big rechargeable batteries plugged into them, or people plug big scene lights into like the little mini battery pack things and they can run for hours on that. I don't really care, but in my life, I want a big bright scene light. If I'm working in the backyard, the other night, perfect example, before Halloween, so not really the other night, but like a month ago or whatever. Seems like time almost just flies.
Yeah.
All the kids are in the backyard. We're carving out pumpkins. We're, you know, gutting the pumpkins and doing all that kind of stuff. And we need light. We just need light to see the pumpkins, you know, and yeah, carving and all that. So it's nice to have a big, bright scene light instead of like, okay, you know, hey, you can use the porch lights, but they don't, you know, they're not as bright as we wish they were. Or, oh, here, use my handheld light and get it covered in pumpkin guts. It's like, here's a scene light. We can get at the right angle, eliminate all these freaking shadows over here. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what are my requirements for that? I don't have any. And when it comes to a scene light, get a big fucking bright light. Mm-hmm. Plug it in, battery powered. I don't care. Again, I just want a super bright light that is has easy bulbs, easy to replace. I don't want something I got to order, you know, from some specialty store. I want to be able to go down to Home Depot or Lowe's or whatever and buy a 10-pack of them. I want something that's durable and weather-resistant because it might have to be used in those environments. So those are kind of like my primary lights that I like to have in my life. And then outside of that, all the other lights. I want more headlamps. I want more pocket lights. I want more weapon-mounted lights. I want more of all that. I want all of those things. I want more lights. I always want more lights. I don't think you can have enough lights, and it always blows my mind. I'll be honest, it blows my fucking mind. There's two things that blow my mind, actually, when it comes to especially men. Men who don't carry a pocket knife, what the fuck is wrong with you? All right? Unless you're going to get fired from your job or something, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Get a fucking pocket knife, dude. And two, people who don't carry flashlights, especially women.
Yeah, like, that's like dangerous if you don't.
It's one of the tools. We've had more people over the 14 years of teaching people. We've had more people defend themselves successfully with flashlights than with handguns.
Yeah.
Firearms in general.
Yeah.
It's like lights do so much. The application of lights. We use lights to illuminate, identify, and incapacitate. Carry a light.
Yeah.
Get a good light. Ladies, get a light. Men, give your women lights and make them fucking carry them. Well, what if I do if my wife won't carry her light? Explain to her. Walk her through the process of, I don't know, being fucked
to
death.
Not any,
how about that?
Not even that. Just go for a walk at night. Have her use her light. And when someone is walking on the same side of the sidewalk as you, coming towards you, just boop, boop, and then they literally move.
Watch people's reactions. Have your lady watch people's reactions when they get blasted with fucking 500 lumens.
So when I run at night, I have my headlamp on, but I also carry my handheld. And when I used to run super late at night, I would make sure that I wasn't running directly next to cars. But it was always nice to have my handheld because if I'm running in a straight line – and looking straight, but I'm also kind of sort of looking out of the side of my eye. I can just take my handheld and light the area that I want to extra light up and see. Mm-hmm. And when I used to run all the time and people would be out, nobody wants to get shined by lights. And anybody who's benign typically just get out of the way and move to the different sidewalk. I had our kids, I don't know, it was probably like a year or two now ago when we were walking the dog and I had all the kids with me. They were teeny tiny, so maybe it was a while ago. Mm-hmm. And there's this guy that's walking on the same side of the sidewalk as us and he was coming towards us. We are a herd of people.
Yeah.
We are plus a dog and he wasn't moving.
It's a group.
And so I just took my flashlight and I went boop, boop and hit him and he looked like he, I got his attention, and then he crossed the road, and he's benign. And then you're going to know. And it throws the light far enough that it's going to get people's attention, and then they're not going to be pretty happy about it. And then they'll just move out of the way because they mainly will understand what you're trying to do, is to get their attention to move.
And ultimately, like, I'll go back to my other statement about trying to explain to your lady what it's like to get fucked to death. You're either interested in self-preservation or you're not. My good friend Cecil Birch, we've been talking a lot about different things. He's gone into full-time teaching now, and you know we've been talking about a lot of different concepts, and he's trying to put a name, you know, to what he wants to do. Okay, how am I going to explain? You know, he's like, we use the term emergency response, and he's like, I don't really teach exactly that. You know, I don't teach the medical stuff, so how do I? And so he's come up with the term self-preservation, right? He teaches self-preservation class. He's a self-preservation instructor, right? Instead of saying, oh, I'm a BJJ instructor or I'm a combatives instructor or whatever. That's kind of generic. So he's like, what am I really trying to teach people? Okay, self-preservation. Think it from that perspective. You're either into self-preservation or you're not.
Mm-hmm.
You're either willing to open your eyes to the fact that you might need a fucking light. A light. You might need
so
a light.
Easy.
Like, are you fucking serious? Do you walk into a building when you just walk around in the dark all the time? People use lights all the time.
And
every
they use,
day.
They use Mainly, they use their cell phone lights, which does not cast a lot of light.
Even just for generally seeing. I'm not even talking about avoiding getting fucked to death here.
No, I'm saying, like, when they walk into a dark room, what's the number one thing people do? They go straight for their cell phones. And they're like, well, I have a light. It's my phone.
I got my light.
But what happens when you kill your battery and you still need a light? We used to go in the caverns. We've done that a couple times. Uh-huh. And these fucking idiots will have their cell phone lights. And we're like, wow, that really fucking sucks. You probably shouldn't do that, especially knowing that you're going into these big caverns and you're not going to have cell phone service anyway. Nope. But what's the possibility that you got to run and try and figure your way out and then all of a sudden your phone dies?
Or just see. Or just see.
Because you can barely see with your – in those caverns.
You're in a beautiful underground cavern with amazing things, and you can see 5 fucking feet in front of you.
You can barely see with your phone light.
It's like carry a fucking flashlight, man. Every night, every person in America, for the most part, uses lights.
Yeah.
They use the headlights on their car. They use lights inside of a building. You know, they use lights. Yeah. And then when you're like, hey, you should carry a flashlight, people are like, oh, that's ridiculous. Really? You fucking idiot. Do you not use lights everywhere else you go in your life, you use lights. And you think carrying a portable light is crazy?
Yeah.
So you can see stuff? I mean, forget about killing bad guys and shining in people's eyes and using actual, I don't know, self-preservation techniques. Forget about that for a second. And let's just talk about using the light to see stuff. Where am I parked? Signaling, hey, dude, click, click, I'm over here.
Yeah.
Basic shit like that. Like, forget about just the bad guy stuff and just think about just basic use of lights. And people think it's crazy. That seems a little overboard to carry a light. Really? You use lights every single day. Is that overboard? Is that overboard to illuminate a room? It's silly to illuminate a room. I like to walk around with a candle-lit lantern. That's all the light I need. Even more so when people carry guns or med kits, and they don't carry an accompanying light.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if shit happens at night, dummy? What are you going to fucking do? Just fumble fuck your way through being able to see shit? This is how people shoot the wrong people. This is how people don't save people's lives. This is exactly how it happens. Can't see shit. Carry a flashlight. Convince other people in your life to carry flashlights. Your kids should have flashlights.
Yep.
They shouldn't leave the home. If it's even mildly close to a dark time of the day, your kids shouldn't leave the home without a flashlight.
Yep.
So simple. So fucking simple. Watch any horror movie and see, understand what I'm talking about. Carry a fucking flashlight. A really bright one with good batteries.
Yeah.
Okay?
Fresh batteries. That you're constantly forever changing.
Now, there's one thing I kind of skip with weapon-mounted lights, and that was long guns. Now, I don't consider my long gun light to be like everyday light because I do not use a long gun every day. But I will say this. Every single gun that we own that is going to be used for any kind of real-world purpose, i.e. self-defense or self-preservation, has an insanely bright light attached to it. Activation methods differ. You know, I could go into a whole other thing, I guess, about long gun lights. I don't consider them everyday lights for me. Maybe they are for you if you use a long gun every day. You might be in that position. So if you're in that position, an insanely bright light that's not in a position to be negligently discharged, I like to put it in a position where it's easy for me to access, but I'm not going to accidentally push the button. So I don't want it in my immediate grip space. You know, my support hand grip space, I don't want the activation pad or switch or whatever in that immediate space. I want to have to move my hand just slightly to be able to get to that light because I don't want to have an accidental discharge or negligent discharge of my light for any variety of reasons, to include just running the batteries down in the daytime when I don't realize the fucking light's on, all the way up to I don't want to be, you know, in the dark trying not to be seen and then oopsie poopsie hit my fucking light. Now everybody knows where I'm at. So super bright lights on rifles. If you're shooting stuff at rifle distance, you want incredibly bright lights with good candela. I want to be able to throw, you know, a significant amount of distance. But ultimately, when you're talking about everyday, more everyday lights, there's my pocket light, there's my headlamp, there's my gun light, my handheld light, or my gun light, my handheld light, something super bright and powerful, and then some kind of scene light or some kind of area light. Those are the lights I'm going to use more every day. So if you're trying to figure out, like, where's the gaps in my light capability, here's a place to start. Brands I love. Streamlight's my go-to brand. They have been for years. I've been using Streamlight stuff for a long, long time, and it's rarely, rarely failed me. So everything fails sooner or later. So Streamlight has failed me the least, and the price is the best for what you get. They're not cheap, but they're not expensive. They're cost effective, I believe. So I'm a big into that. If I'm looking for a light, I go to Streamlight first. I see if they have what I want. If they don't have what I want, then I branch out into other stuff. You know, okay, now what am I looking for? You know, does Surefire have the offering? Does Cloud Defensive have the offering? Does, you know, freaking a power tool company have a good scene light that runs off my power tool batteries? You know, I start looking for things a little more contextual to what I'm trying to accomplish. But I always go to Streamlight first. And Streamlight actually does have literally a light for everything I just said. Mm-hmm. Everything I just said, they have a great light for. But they may not fit your context perfectly. So, you know, branch out into other brands if you need to. But I would recommend that you start with Streamlight. They're very cost effective. They back up their products with a good warranty. I've had to service a couple lights over the years. It's always quick and efficient. So, you know, take a look at what they have. Anything you think I missed about lights, Drew?
I don't think so.
There you go.
There you go.
Carry lights. Carry light. Convince other people to carry lights. They're so useful. Practice with them. Train with them. Go to a low light, no light class. Come to ours if you can, or, you know, seek out other good, high quality training and go to some low light, no light training. Lights aren't just good in the darkness. They're good in ambient light. They're good inside buildings. They're good in shadowy areas. They're good for all kinds of purposes. We use them for a lot of different things.
Yep.
Get lights in your life.
Get lights.
Light it up. Independence training moment for this week. What did Drew and Glenn do this past week to better prepare any of the four zones for an emergency? Well, the reason that we had to pre-record this show is because hopefully we have a couple of elk on the ground right now.
Yeah, hopefully.
And hopefully our elk hunt goes better than our deer hunt went. It's a rough deer hunt. But so kind of what we're overall going to be working on and why we can't be in the studio this week or this today, I mean, is working more on tracking and general patience for hunting and field craft. There's a lot about elk hunting that requires just your general patience and waiting for them to come into an area. And they will come into that area, but you got to wait for them. If they're not standing right there immediately, sometimes you got to wait a little while and then they'll show up. So trying to tracking them, figuring out what part of the areas they're in, where are they being pressured, where are they being pushed to. A lot of people talk about hunting from an aspect of, you know, just going out and getting an animal, but learning the animal and really understanding their behavior is a critical part of being a consistently successful hunter. Independence Training Moment brought to you by Independence Training. Of course, you can find us at trainingaz.com. Remember, you can bring us out to train with you. Get hosting information via email, info@trainingaz.com. Please hit us up. Find out if you can bring us out to your area. It's really easy to do, especially depending on some of the classes. Like if you want medical classes, ugh, so easy to host us. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram as The Arms Room Show, Independence Training, Redwire Gear, MRC Phoenix, and PMA or Premier Martial Arts Scottsdale. We are proud members of the Heroes Media Group. Be sure to check out the other things that the network is up to. So many wonderful digital and media services that our network has to offer. And next week, we're going to be doing a show about the do's and don'ts of self-defense. Dave Bravo is going to be in the studio with us, talking with us about the do's and don'ts of self-defense. Until then, stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.